Morning, church. Christmas is great. Thanks to the Bowden family and friends. Appreciate that so much. We are concluding our series on light today, Light of the World. We've talked about the light of hope, the light of joy, the light of peace, and Christmas Eve, the light of all three, and then today, the light of the world. And then, starting on the 3rd of January, we're going to be doing a series through the small little Bible book called Jude. And it's been just over a year ago, I was devotionally working through the book, and then I took some time to sketch some outline stuff and set it in a file and just waited until whenever the Lord thought that it would be appropriate time for us to look at that together. And he's been impressing that upon me. So starting next week, we're going to spend 3 weeks in the book of Jude. Na, 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 na. And so we're going to do that. And I'm really excited. And actually, it works out phenomenal at the start of a new year. And so we're gonna just dive into that book and really enjoy it. So if you want to do some reading in preparation, please do that. Light of the World. Today, just so you know where we're going to talk about the issue of light of the world, and then we're going to interview one of our very own, who, from as long as I've ever known her and their family, they have been light. And so it's been a joy to be able to have them or her come to the platform. We're going to talk a little bit, and then I'll finish the message off. So that's so you know where we're headed. Let's pray together, okay? Father in heaven, would you, by your Holy Spirit, speak through your word that Jesus would continue to be exalted in this place and in our lives. And I ask that you would just work very much in spite of me this morning, and that you would take your word and ignite your people to fulfill their calling and your will for them, that the world may know that you are the true light. So, to that end, please give a miracle of hearing to tired ears, and a miracle of strength to a tired voice. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 8, the background to the statement that we're going to read is probably one of the seven feasts of the Old Testament, or the people of God gathered at the temple, and it was a great time of feasting. The Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, in the great temple, what would happen in the court called the Court of Women, there were four grand lanterns that would be lit. And many think that it's during this time at the feast where Jesus made his statement. So that's a backdrop. Others believe that it also touches the very connection of the history of God's people, where God, by a pillar of fire, led his people through the wilderness. And so this is background to when Jesus comes and he makes his statement that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. What does it mean when Jesus says, I am the light of the world? Well, when you study the light through the scriptures, it really, if we can just cut down a whole huge study and just bring it down to a few things, it's this: that Jesus is proclaiming to be the truth. He is proclaiming to be the salvation of the world. He is proclaiming to be the very life of the world. At Christmas Eve, we looked at a verse in John chapter 1 where he said that that the darkness has come, and in the darkness, in him was life, and the life was the light to all mankind. So we see that light is very much to do with the very spiritual, eternal life of God Himself. We also understand that light has to do with truth. The psalmist in the history of God's people would talk about the Word of God, His law being light to their path. It's a truth. It was God's revelation. And then ultimately salvation, where we are once again connected with God Himself. It is fascinating again that Jesus didn't point to some light. He didn't show you how you could generate that light. He actually said that I am the embodiment of light. And I am the light of the world. This is an incredibly significant statement when you really understand what he is saying is that he is the only light of the world. He's not one of many lights. There's no second or third option. It is Jesus or it is darkness. I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, the context in Jesus' day was when someone followed a rabbi and became their disciple, they literally gave up everything and physically walked around and followed that rabbi for the rest of their lives. They learned from him. When Jesus is saying that whoever follows me, it's not just some kind of flippant, yeah, okay, you know, maybe you lived and did this for me. Jesus says, if you want the light of life, then he's asking that we follow him, that as we give our entire lives to him, we surrender to him, and we become his disciple, his follower. And when we do that, he promises that we will not walk in darkness, that is, to be in spiritual darkness. We won't be in the dark about how you connect with God and what truth is. We won't be in the dark about how do you live and live a moral and an ethical life. We'll know. He will teach us. And we will actually have within us the very light of life. Jesus in John 9 said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then the incredible thing is that after he died for our sin and was rose again and ascended to the Father, as we sang this morning, enthroned in the heavens, as we heard a few weeks ago, in a very real kingdom, though invisible, and though most of the world does not yet bow to that kingdom, wherever someone does that, who chooses to become his follower and follows him, we are born into the family, we step into the kingdom of God, and the life in the kingdom is ours. And there is a king in the kingdom, as we learned in the past year. And we live in the kingdom of God to carry out the desires of the king. And as we then are his subjects, and through us, his kingdom begins to spread through the world as others entrust their lives to him. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then this absolutely mind-blowing statement Jesus says in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. Excuse me? You are the light of the world. It's an absolutely mind-boggling when you think about this. As Jesus' followers, we literally are a continuation of Jesus' influence. We continue to dispel darkness and display the radiance of Jesus. How can this be? Well, as we've learned recently, that when we trust Christ, become His follower, and personally receive Him into our very deepest inner recesses of our soul, He quickens our spiritual nature. He gives us a brand new nature, and His Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus Himself, enjoins and is bound so tightly to our spirit that we are literally one. We live in vital union with the light of the world. We are partakers, the scripture says, of the heavenly nature. That's miraculous. And therefore, as you and I live in our world, literally, the very light of the world, Jesus, bound in union with our spirits, continues His influence in His people. And therefore, He could say, you sitting here Sunday morning in this cafeteria, on the December 27th, 2015, as a follower of Christ, you are the light of the world. Have you ever really just stopped to let that sink in and seep into the water table of your soul and your mind? It is mind-boggling, frankly. Now, Jesus then gives two examples of how in Him we actually are light. He gives two visible examples of this. One is, He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. I was born and raised in the prairies, and there's this place when you're driving between Regina and Moose Jaw, this Belle Plain, it's called, this little spot, and it just, this little kind of a bump where the road goes like this, but on a very, very clear night, you can almost virtually see Regina and Moose Jaw, though they be almost an hour apart. It's incredible. And then when you see a city that's literally on a hill or on a mountain, and it's dark everywhere else, it's just that you can't hide it. In the Jesus day, towns were often made on hills like that, because with no street lights and stuff, you could always get your direction by seeing the lights on the hill, and so you know where you're going and where you're headed. You are the light of the world. And then He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's an illustration of us. Collectively, I love this. A city collectively cannot be hidden. You can even see it from space nowadays, great cities around the world through when you see them. Second illustration, you cannot hide a city. Second, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. But rather, they put it on a stand and it gives light to the whole house. So one illustration to illustrate the fact that we are actually the light of Christ in our world is a city on a hill. Another one is a lamp in a dark room. And nobody lights a lamp and then covers it over in those days. It just lights the whole house up. So Jesus then goes to say, it's pretty straightforward, in the same way, in what same way? In the same way that a city is on a hill and it can't be hidden, and in the same way that a light in a house, a lamp is lit and it lights the whole room up, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. In the same way, stand out. Let your light shine. See, you can stop this. This is the word, let what is naturally there. You don't generate light. If you have truly trusted Christ, this is a reality. So our responsibility then is to not generate light, but to let the light out. Let your light shine, friends. Let the presence of Christ, let the love of Christ, let the truth of Christ, let the salvation of Christ, and especially let your works that result from your faith in Christ, let your light shine before others, in front of them, in full view of, in the presence of other people. Let your light shine. Why? When you see those words, so that, it's answering the why question. Why do I do that? So that they, it's not about you. You don't do this to look good in front of people. You don't do this to feel good about yourself. The primary reason we let the light out by letting our light shine is so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who's in heaven. It's as the light gets shone through us, as we bring the presence and the love and the truth and the salvation and the works that are produced by faith, as we serve others, is as they see that, they're impacted by it. It's about them. That they will too come to the place where they honor and live and give glory to God, your Father who is in heaven. That's the reason we want light, as we learned in the Kairos course, the ultimate reason and the goal of being light and being witnesses in our world is that the entire world would sing and worship Jesus, that God would be honored, that glory would be given to the triune God. Friends, our friends and people should never have to wonder or be in the dark about our relationship with Christ. Two principal points I want to bring out right now. That Jesus is the light source. It's not you. It's Jesus. And there's two things that this light is portrayed by us. One is that we reflect His light. This is the first way. We reflect His light. So, I don't know, a few nights ago, it was late. Everyone in our home was in bed, and I was out looking out the back window in our backyard, and there was this incredible, bright, full moon. I just love it when it's really bright out, and the moon is full, and it's like, literally, you can just, it's like being out like in daylight, almost. And we used to be able to do this out when I was younger, living out west. Can't do that. You can't shut your lights off now on cars. But I remember we'd be out in the country and the bright moon would be so full and dark that we'd literally shut the lights off and you could drive and see nicely. And the moon was reflecting the light. And I love that illustration. It's the moon that just reflects the sun's light so brightly. And that's what we are to be. With the light of Christ, His character, His love, His truth, His works, His grace, we reflect as Jesus shines on us and we reflect it off to the world. Now, to take this illustration a little bit farther, it's very interesting that we can allow, I love this illustration, when the earth moves in front of the moon, that is the only time that the moon doesn't reflect the sun, right? It is eclipsed by the world, and that, I mean, that'll preach, right? When worldliness gets in between, that'll preach. We reflect the very light. But there's another way, and it's actually deeper, not just purely reflection, that we actually radiate Jesus' light. Where reflection is an outward thing where it just hits and bounces off and the light of Christ comes and we reflect Him to others, there's another sense in which we radiate or we glow. We have this light within us in our union with Jesus and He, the light of the world, actually it just radiates from us. So there are two kind of aspects of how we actually are the light of the world, that Christ within in our union, he lets his light as he joins with them. We not only reflect it, but we actually are light. Jesus, the capital L light, we the small L light, his light causes us to glow in a dark, dark world. Well, before we continue on our message, I want to have a little conversation with somebody. Like I said earlier, ever since I've known this woman, she has been light. And it's been exciting to watch her. And let's welcome to this stage Maria Lowe. Let's give her a warm Summit welcome. All right, Maria. Come on in. How are you? You're not nervous, are you?
No.
Come on. Awesome. So, for those that don't know Maria, we can just talk. Yeah. You know, they can just listen in. Breaks the nervousness. Maria, how long have you been a follower of Jesus?
19 years.
19 years, yeah. Awesome. And how long have you been coming to Summit?
16.
16 years. Mm-hmm. Maria and Dan, part of our starting team. I remember the day at Bayview where you and Dan came and said, we want to come with and start this church. And that was a real blessing to me, and you guys have been dear to us for many, many years. Maria, I wanted to ask you a couple of things. You, in all of my time of knowing you, there seems to always be people around you that are in process of seeking Christ. And so I wanted to know, how did you get involved in actually taking up this mantle of being light to Jesus? When did that start? Did it start right away when you became a Christian? Did it take you time? How did you get in the game?
Yes. Well, I had to think about that as well. I was thinking about my life, and after I knew Jesus, and how I started to, every time I meet somebody, talk about him or just inviting them to church, and I just realized that one of the reasons is the I know I have a treasure. It's huge. And I just want to share it. I think it's just that natural thing. You know, you have something that is so precious, and you just cannot keep to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how I probably, that's my motivation, I guess.
Yeah. So you, one of the things is, so you become friends and you meet someone, and then you discover that they do not know about Christ. Mm-hmm. What happens from that moment? Like, what happens inside you till the time where you actually start talking to someone about Christ or sharing your story or something? Like, what happens in that interim period?
Yeah, I know it's not good or easy to talk about formulas because there is no. But I remember years ago, Jerry, you mentioned something here from the pulpit, like, you advised us to, when you meet somebody, just to throw there in the conversation just a phrase like, oh, yes, maybe it's Sunday after church, or, oh, yes, you know, I'm sure God is going to help me. And there, just leave it there. Just throw the phrase there. And I love that, you know, because then people already know where to put you. They know you are in touch with God, in touch with a church or something, and then the rest comes more natural, right? If they want to ask you for something in specific or things like that, so my relationships is just like anybody else. starts a conversation, a relationship, and then they know I come to church on Sundays, they know, and then comes an invitation, right? So it's just like that, mm-hmm. really.
So you don't paint big targets on people and shoot them with your gospel gun? You actually build relationships and friendships?
Actually,
and
yes.
That's very good. That's been the part of the problem in the church for years, hasn't it, Ben? Mm-hmm. That people see the lost people as the enemy or a target that they've got to somehow shoot or hogtie and drag to the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. This is what I've noticed about you and with Dan, are the things that have been so very natural for you. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a part of your life. So you drop a little hint or you plant a seed and then you leave it. Now, what happens, you know, someone's asks a question, you pick it up, do you get all tense, or like, how do you, what goes on inside you?
All sorts of things. There are people that are ready. That's another thing that I know. God sometimes, he's already working in some people. So some people respond in a positive way. Others, I've got lots of rejections as well. And it will hurt, well, it still hurts, but disappoints me. But then I have to go back to say, you know, I'm not the only one that God is using to work in these people. These people are special to God, and I have to believe that, and I've seen that it's not just me working in that people. Later on, I find them again, and it happens that somebody else is also working, helping, and I know it's God, right? God uses me and other people to bring these people, maybe not the moment I want, but later on in life. Mm. My own family, right? Rejection from my own family. But again, I have to think and believe that that God is keeps working with them, not just through me. I'm just one part of it, right?
Mm. Now, are there days where you don't feel like being light? Do you ever stop letting the light out? I find that hard to believe. Always be exuding light to me.
Yeah.
Do you ever struggle with that?
No, I get mad. My family's here, and they can tell. I mean, I'm sure there are, yes. So, yeah, like any other human being, right? And sometimes just like, oh, I failed today. Yeah. I wasn't in a good mood. I didn't say the right thing. Yeah. And you feel guilty of not showing what Jesus wants you to show to others, right? But you know, the next day comes again, and it's just beautiful that there's another opportunity comes to make things right, right?
So you don't have to be perfect then.
You don't.
Do you let the people you're knowing and talking with know your imperfections?
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't have to let them know. They can tell, right? I mean, when, especially because it's a relationship, right? Yeah. It's an everyday, and I'm always, I like to be open to, you know, my failures or my problems at home or my problems, so people know I'm just one of them as well, right? Going through life.
Maria, for people in the audience today who would say like you, you haven't been to Bible college or seminary. Oftentimes people will say, well, I don't know if I can do that. I have not gone to be trained in those kind of issues. Have you ever wrestled with that? And if not, what would you say to people here today who feel like they have to, you know, have some sort of degree in Bible study or college or seminary in order to be used by God like that?
I mean, definitely there's a need of communion with God. That has to happen. That has to be, because you cannot make it up, right? God is filling you with his love so powerful that then the rest comes naturally. Yeah. I love to go to Bible studies. That's what I've been doing all this time and learning more. But at the same time, the more I learn, the more I see that I still need to know. So if something comes up and I've gotten very difficult questions, like, you know, I don't have that answer. And then I go and ask.
You tell them,
I don't know.
Me find out.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes we feel like we have to have every single question answered before we even start a conversation.
No,
right?
You don't. Yeah. And I think people are more likely to trust you when you sincerely say, you know, I really don't know that, and I also struggle with that. And then you start again at the same level, right?
Are you ever afraid? Do you have fears?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
You don't seem like that.
Well, yes, I mean, just to come here, right? I mean, I have to believe that, Lord, I'm not coming up here to the stage by myself. He's right here with me, next to me, and I have to believe that, right? And I know that.
Do you have fears talking to people about Christ ever?
You know, I think that, again, going back to the rejection part, some people have gone a little bit farther from me because I think, well, it's because of that, right? So they prefer to keep a distance. But again, I have to believe that, you know, that's okay. Later on in life, sometimes happens that something happens in their lives and I'm the first person they call, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say with everybody, but it has happened as well. So something that you have to...
Yes, let me ask you a question. I mean, you're busy. You got a busy household. And how do you ever find time to have time for people? Because I would think most of us in this room, you say, you know what, I'd really like to be sort of light when I can, but frankly, I just don't know where I'll find the time.
You know, when you love people, and I just can distinguish here first from afar, and you just make the time because you love them, right?
Amen.
And you know what wonderful happens? I mean, with typical things in the world, like I have a pound of apples, and if I share them with you, I'm out of apples, right? But with Christ's love, that's why the more I share my love with fresh, it's just my love inside, it just keeps growing.
Wow.
And you know, and that's an experience that you wish to everybody, right? It's just beautiful. Oh my goodness, who doesn't want the love of Christ to keep growing in your heart? And that's what happens, the more you share. And another motivation, just quickly, Jerry, 15 years ago, I was in the hospital with my little girl, she was 2 years old, between life and death. You came to this room and you asked me, Maria, are you mad at God? And I knew you asked me that because that's a natural thing, right? When things are so tough. And maybe you don't remember my answer, but I said to you, how can I be? I mean, he's been the one sustaining me for this moment by moment, right? And I mean, people are gonna go through times, and I think that's what I want them to have. What I had in that moment, right? To have him sustaining them, strengthening them. And God uses everybody, right? I have so many people around me, prayers and things, and I think that's my motivation. It's so such a huge thing, God in our lives, that that's what I want people to have as well when they don't have it, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm so impacted by your love for people, and you're really living what we heard in those verses earlier, that it's about them experiencing God. That's why you want them so much too. What happens inside you when one of the people whom you've been loving, sharing Christ, makes a decision that they want to follow Jesus?
That happened with my own sister. And after 12 years, right, finally one day on the phone, she lives in Mexico City, and my goodness, my joy was just, it's just beyond. Everything is worth it in that moment, and it's just great.
There's hardly a feeling like it, to be used by God.
It's very humbling feeling, right? Because then you realize, oh my goodness, little me, he used me to touch somebody in such a big way. It's a very humbling feeling.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed, I've noticed this, I'll just say this, when we started Alpha, Mike and Janet and the team, you didn't just send some of your friends there. You sit in Alpha for 9 weeks or 10 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it is, with them. And I've seen you do that multiple times.
Well, I feel it's a pleasure to me to see them growing and coming and learning, and I don't feel like I should just send them, right? No.
Now, I'm going to say this. You have a you've done this for many years, and I'm just so thankful that you're up here, because you don't know how terrified she usually is about the platform. So I just want to say that. But I have just watched and been just marveled at your influence for Christ. What have you learned in this process over the last, say, 15 years? What have you learned about yourself or about God or something that would help us as we consider, what have you learned about being light to people?
I think
one thing you said earlier was that the God's already at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just doing that. I mean, to me, I just tucked that away in my brain and said, that's right. We know that, but it's true. God is already at work in people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other things.
I think that's one of our main purposes. Mm-hmm. I mean, life, you look around and things are crazy, so confusing, and the world is upside down, and that's our only purpose, right? I mean, people need hope, and that's the only place where you can find hope. So if you stop sharing the love of God with others, what else can you do?
Mm.
I mean, really, just live day by day, and it's not...
Yeah. Okay, you got a free shot. You're now Mrs. Preacher. And what would you say to your church family in this whole area?
Well, I love you. I love this Summit family. It's been my family for 16 years, and I've gotten, I don't know, so much support. I don't know if are here, like 15 years ago, that was one of the toughest times. And I've had several, many, many tough times in my life, but that was one of the toughest. And if Sue Kitamura is here, Dave and Sue Ball are here, I just want to thank you again for all your support. And again, there's more names that come to my mind in different times. I just want to say that to encourage you, God is never going to disappoint you. Just love people. There is no formula. Just go love them sincerely and be there for them. God is going to do the rest. If you're in communion with Him, oh my goodness, He's going to show you the next step, because that's exactly what He wants to use us for.
Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to pray with you before I send you off. And can I do that?
Sure.
Would you join me as we pray? I just want to pray for Maria and the family. Lord, I thank you so much for those who've been faithful to you and your witness. Thank you so much for the love that Maria has for people. I ask, Jesus, that you would again baptize her afresh in your Spirit and in your love. Would you multiply her effectiveness? We just thank you that she has been faithful. And we pray, oh God, that you would use her to draw many, many more people to know you and experience all that you have to offer, life in your kingdom. Oh, Jesus, we pray that you would bless her. Bless Dan and the girls, and we thank you so much for this family and their influence for the kingdom of God and in their influence at Summit. Bless them in this world, we pray. May they shine with renewed wattage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's say thanks to her. Thank you, Maria. God bless you. Yeah. Last couple things. So often it's hard for those in Christians to remember the fact that we weren't always light. And the Apostle Paul says and reminds us, at one time, you were darkness. It's interesting he didn't say, you had some darkness in you. He said, you were darkness. But now, you are light. What makes you light is this phrase, in the Lord. It's in your union with Jesus. You are light, friends. So he exhorts us, walk as children of life. Live, go about your daily life and your responsibilities as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. We were darkness, now we are in light. So he says in Philippians 2, be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish. This is talking about holiness and purity, a quality of character that's different from the darkness of our world. Be blameless, innocent, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom, you see, you have to be engaged in the life of people in our world, in the midst of, among. This is where light has its effect in darkness. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast to the word of life. That's a prepositional phrase or an adjective, a phrase that enables or gives strength to us in the midst of the world as we stay anchored or holding fast to the word of life in our obedience to the truth. You see, allowing our light to shine means that every step that resembles Jesus and aligns with his word increases the wattage of our witness before the Lord, the world. Every time, every step, whether it's increased Christ-likeness, changes in our characters, all of those qualities that resemble Christ, every step in that direction, or every step in our actions or acts of love or righteousness or truth or goodness, every step that resembles Jesus, this brings credibility of our character or sacrificial service, these things, every step that resembles Jesus and aligns with his word, where we uphold his truth, obey his teachings and commands, increases the wattage of our witness. I'll tell you, if we do not change, if we are not different, if we do not resemble Christ and grow more wholesome, our influence actually isn't that bright. We can dim our lights through sin, moral or ethical impurity. Just before this passage in Philippians about being blameless, he tells us not to be grumbling or complaining. Tell if you develop a habit of speaking positively and not grumbling and complaining, that will set you up like a light in our world. Dishonesty, being eclipsed by worldliness, remaining silent when we have opportunities to speak or when we're asked about our faith, being spiritually apathetic or laziness, not holding fast to God's word, being inconsistent or hypocritical, being too busy to be or too lazy to be light, this can seriously affect our light shining. So just want to leave you with a last verse from Daniel chapter 12. This is a prophecy about the final end. He says, and those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever. You see, the wise are those who share Christ's light, the love and the goodness of Jesus himself, to be conduits of God's grace and salvation and love in our world. And we will shine in eternity where there will be blessing and reward for being faithful. So, as we're faithful at home or school or at work or in a community around our world, God will use us, friends. We have received things that human effort alone and religions cannot produce. We have a buoyancy of our soul through the hardships and trials and praise of a broken world. We are profoundly different from the world around us as children of light. So in a world that is crazy in its pursuit of happiness, we can shine with joy. In a world crying from grief and comfort, we can exude peace regardless of our circumstance. And in a world that is filled with empty despair and meaninglessness, we can shine with hope. Church, you are the light of the world. I pray that we will be bright in our light. May we shine for Christ and His glory, that many others would know and experience the life of Christ and give glory to God. I pray that that would be true of us. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we ask that you would do this in us. I pray, Jesus, that you would come by your Holy Spirit, you who promised us spiritual power, ability, enabling to be your witnesses. I ask, Lord, please help us to shine brightly in our world. Help us to just get off the fence, as Maria challenged us, just to, what else is there, ultimately, but to be light for you and to love others and point them to the wonderful truth, grace, and love found in Jesus. Ignite in me, Lord, that passion and desire to step out of my busy schedule and be more intentional this year about building relationships with those who don't know you. I just thank you for the exhortation to my own heart again. And I pray that that would be true for every one of us in this room. Oh God, lift us beyond our petty preoccupations with stuff. With those things that consume our time that are of not real eternal value. And I pray, God, that we would be used by you. Cause us to shine brightly, I pray, for the sake of the world, in Jesus' name. Amen.